military, less imperial, less grasping, so foolishly generous than the United States. Yet we face an awesome challenge of, in fact, acting as an imperial hegemon, like it or not. And given the extraordinary fossilization of so much of the world's social and political institutions, which have built up colossal internal pressures, we are forced to deal with regime change, with nation building, and all of the agony which that leadership position forces upon us in our own self-defense. We don't really want to be there. Yet 9/11 taught us for once and again, a hollow phrase, we said that after Pearl Harbor too, that we cannot retreat within Fortress America. In the simplest terms, we are the target of every envy, every jealousy, every petty tin horn thug, every evil fanatic in the world, by reason of the success and the opportunity which Western civilization, and particularly America, offers. After all, do you think that how many million illegal immigrants would be trying to get here unless it was a land of opportunity? The ghastly, and yet we have to remember, all of these external forces will take us down if we are not prepared to defend ourselves. The ghastly toll of young lives cut down in Iraq is but the tiniest fraction of the horrors that await us if we do not develop a strategy to guide and control and channel the release of the violent energy which has been built up in the Third World and indeed in the Old World. We shouldn't confuse policy with execution. I'm prepared to argue that our president, perhaps inadequately, did the right thing in a strategic sense in dealing with Afghanistan and Iraq, but he failed miserably to explain why he was sacrificing American lives, possibly risking economic collapse, and certainly expanding the role of the imperial government within America. He and those he chose to advise him won the war and lost the peace. He and though they did not consider for one moment the painful lessons learned by the real imperialists, by the Brits. They might well have reflected upon the weary wisdom of my Lord Lugard, who was the complete imperial proconsul, given in his fascinating book, The Dual Mandate. If you really want to know what you do when you go into a place, he will tell you. He took Uganda with 14 men and made it stick. Or you might have learned from Sir Gerald Templer, who successfully conducted the first successful modern war on terror in Malaysia for an agonizing decade in the 1950s. We've all forgotten that, though it was within the life experience of most of us. But of course, he didn't have TV cameras or hateful reporters or radical propagandists carping. He was able to operate as a military man, executing a mission and doing it with the minimum force that was possible. Or we might even learn from the experience of our own Indian fighting army in the last half of the 19th century. Instead of tempered pressure, we've used blunt force, injuring the very people we were trying to help. Unfortunately, the present administration blundered in without a plan, and they're very close to throwing away what could only otherwise be reckoned a brilliant victory. As a nation, we must come to grips with a totally new dimension, which requires a different response. And we really have to separate political and economic changes which are forced upon us with confused attempts to impose some of our values and views on people who come from radically different cultures, different faiths. Live and let live. After all, it took Europe six centuries of internal agony from the 13th century until the 19th century to damp down the fires of religious hatred and extremism and ethnic particularism. My good Lord, we've just seen the end, I hope, of the internal divisions in Ireland in the last few months. Do we really think it's going to be so easy? But the effort and the task is painfully clear. Unless we face up to the challenge in a coherent way, we will crumble as a society internally, and the light of the shining city on the hill will be extinguished. There's probably no more thoughtful student of the present worldwide conflict in which we find ourselves today than our speaker, Max Boot. His academic career has been brilliant. He started as a historian, but his practical experience has been that of a journalist and an analyst of military affairs. Recently, he's returned to his origins with several well-received, if controversial, books on military history. He's now senior fellow at the National Security Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York. We look forward to his advice and perspectives, and he will be delighted to do question and answer after his remarks. Mr. Boot.